watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, does that silence it a little bit?
DeVito backs up, throws deep, has Harris right side, and the catch at the five, and he tumbles into the end zone. That's a touchdown from 46, and the Orange are rolling.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Allen looks to his left, fires left side. To the end zone! Stephon Diggs makes a catch! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Swing into this! It is over! The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men!
Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica-Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing on the ESPN app, and we always like to highlight that so you can take us with you wherever you go, and I command you to get outside. If you are in central New York today, wherever you're listening today, appreciate that. Hope the weather is as freaking gorgeous there as it is here. I mean, it is. This is a picture perfect Chamber of Commerce fall afternoon in central New York. 79 degrees, sunshine, and not a cloud in the sky in many places. So a couple out there. But man, just one of those days where you just got to be outside. So I hope you're outside. Hope you're enjoying that vitamin D and. It's getting dark a little earlier now. We're going to turn the clocks back. Sitting right, fall, spring forward, fall back. Right, so it's going to get dark at like 5 o'clock. And so, man, just soak it in and enjoy it. Take us with you on all of those formats, but you can also take us with you on this format, which is QSportsTalk.com. That is a magical website where you go to the website via Twitch, and here we are. You can see the show. You can chat throughout the show, opine as much as you'd like. If you want to call 437-7644, get it heard to the radio masses. Tweet me at Brent Axe Media. That's all well and good and fantastic and great ways to keep in touch with the show. But the live chat provides you the opportunity to do it as much as you'd like. And there's all kinds of tricks in there, like if you earn certain status and Uncle Brent's not very familiar with this stuff, but like people can highlight their comments and put like emojis in there and all kinds of things. So I'm not into that, but you guys know it. And the live chat is always lively. So however you're listening, watching, taking in the program today, you know, we greatly appreciate that. And let me remind you at QSportsTalk.com that when the radio audience is in a commercial break, you are not. We keep the mics on and just keep it going during breaks. Okay. What we got lined up today? Well, we have one guest joining us that we know of, another that we may be speaking to, certainly some breaking news that we're anticipating. We do know that J.J. Starling, one of the best basketball players in the country, from Central New York, former Baldwinsville product, now at La Lemire in Indiana, one of the premier prep schools in the country, is going to announce where he is going to play college basketball today at 5 o'clock. We always enjoy when these things happen when we're on the air, so we can give you instant analysis to that. JJ is down to 5 schools, Northwestern, Duke, Notre Dame, Stanford, and Syracuse University. So regardless of what the announcement is, we will react to it, and certainly people will be happier if he picks the Orange, and that would be a big one. And look, you know what Uncle Brent says about these things. You can't let any recruit get you too high or too low. But, man, if you can snag a player like JJ, who has all the stars, all the rankings, all the accolade, has the local connection. And one thing I'm keeping in mind there, and we'll get to this much later when we know where he's going. Let's not forget the importance of name, image, and likeness these days. As Jim Boeheim talked about today at ACC Media Day, we've got a couple of clips that we'll play from Jim Boeheim, from Buddy Boeheim, Barama Sidibe. As well, name, image, and likeness would go a long way here in Syracuse, New York for JJ. Now, I know he's got other things in mind. Academics are important to JJ, hence Duke, Northwestern, Stanford, Notre Dame. These are all highly thought of academic institutions. Not that Syracuse isn't, but clearly academics are important to this kid. So the whole package, basketball-wise, he's a great kid. I've interviewed JJ a couple of times and have always walked away impressed. And there's just certain players that, and people that you meet at that age, athletes or not, that you're just like, man, they got it. They're mature beyond their years. They understand the world. They know how to handle the attention that comes their way. So on a lot of fronts, I'd love to see JJ just come home and play in Syracuse and just ride that wave in many ways, not just the type of player he is. So we will track it. We will respond to it, and we will analyze it instantly when it happens. The world of recruiting, always spinning. So that happens at 5 o'clock, and we will react to it as it happens. We mentioned Syracuse at ACC Media Day today. Why don't we give you a little touch, give you a little slice. Here's what Jim Boeheim said about Mike Krzyzewski today.
Well, Mike's been, you know, the best coach in the post-Wooden era of basketball. I mean, he's clearly been the best college coach, and really what he did with the Olympic team. And I was fortunate to be a small part of that. Was a great basketball experience for me.
So a little slice, a little taste. We've got plenty more from Jim, from Buddy, from Barama, and we will play those clips as we go through the afternoon. Did you guys see that baseball game last night? We have one half of the American League Championship Series also. I don't know if you guys saw that the Red Sox keep winning. The fallout from the John Gruden story, there is a part of this story which to me, not that Gruden kind of being revealed here isn't interesting in and of itself, but there is a bigger part of this story that I'm like, well, what about that? Because that's kind of, in a way, I don't want to rank how these things are. What he said is repugnant, no matter how we found out about it. But well, hold on a second. This was part of a bigger thing that we're going to find out about that, too, because that's kind of important to know. So we will get to all that, the blind side, and so much more throughout the afternoon. Looking forward to talking some hockey with Liam McHugh. Now with the NHL on TNT. Syracuse and Clemson on our mind first, though, in this matchup coming up Friday night. Look, this still is the brand name. I don't care how down Clemson is. This is still the team that's going to get the bigger crowd. This is still the team that is going to be presented to a national television audience. Our friend Anish Shroff calling the game, by the way, with Mike Golic Jr. Friday night. Clemson is still Clemson. It's still, even though they're not in the top 25 currently, still a headline. And if you can say, with everything that's happened with Syracuse football, that you beat Clemson in 2017, you nearly beat Clemson in 2018, and you beat them in 2021, if in fact that happens Friday night, which Syracuse has every opportunity to do, that's kind of what you hang your hat on there. And that could save Dino Babers' job alone. Now, again, we need to reiterate something here. Syracuse University is going to go out of its way to ensure they do not have to pay a head coach for 3 years not to coach the team. Right? Because if things do go south, if things are just, you know, and this team has looked pretty good in the first half of the season, but the old Bill Parcells line, your record is what you are, what your record says you are, right? Or something along those lines. I'm now reminded of the time that I was at a urinal in Saratoga, and up next to me is Bill Parcells. It's very awkward when somebody very famous is right next to you, because like, what do you do? And it's like a whole thing. Anyway, you are what your record says you are. Syracuse is 3-3. They could easily be 5-1. They could be 4-2. The way this team has played so far, man, if they just pull out a couple more wins, John Wildhack is going to have everything he needs to come to that podium or the Zoom or however he does it at the end of the year and say, we're making progress. Look at what we did. X, Y, Z. We're moving forward. And I'm not saying he would be wrong to do that. But that's what that kind of win still holds in terms of prominence, how it holds water, what it would mean if Syracuse can beat Clemson. And the detractors are like, oh, that's not Clemson. It's not, but it's still Clemson, right? That's the kind of sway that they hold. It's funny, we filled out our kind of midseason award thing today for Syracuse.com. You'll see it later this week on the digital pages of Syracuse.com. And boy, the fact that Clemson's not going to win the ACC, that's kind of weird. That's just something you got used to, but it shows that a Wake Forest can have a year like this. Syracuse can have a year like 2018. Clemson has those 9 out of 10 years, but there's that one year even they step aside. There's that one year even Alabama will lose two games, right? There's that LSU, Ed Orgeron, is on the hot seat because of what their standards are. Guy won a national championship 5 minutes ago. Mind you, with Joe Burrow, and I mean, if you watch that team, they do not look the same. And good old Eddie O, he's the thing with Eddie O, and people were really upset when he didn't get hired here a few years ago. My counter to that would be he's got a short shelf life in a lot of ways. He's a great recruiter. Love listening to Eddie O talk. He's a great actor. His performance in The Blind Side was legendary, but you get a short shelf life. Okay, you know what the expiration date is. This is not somebody that's going to come in and be your coach for 10 years. So this game is about prominence. It's about renewing whatever vision Syracuse football is now. It kind of was orange is the new fast. Now it's orange is a cloud of dust, and they're just kind of trying to do the best with what they have and giving assurance that the Dino Babers way, whatever that way is now, is the way forward. Beating Clemson is going to hold a lot of sway there, and it's going to give those decision makers a big old feather in their cap to do it. Now, I think Syracuse football fans would rather look at it as, look, one win is big. There are plenty of tougher games down the stretch, frankly, than what Clemson could be this year. I'd rather be, let me phrase it to you this way. Would you rather be 5-7, but you beat Clemson, or would you rather be 6-6, but you lost to Clemson, right? Whatever combination you want there. Maybe Syracuse has a better start, has to fight its way, and they've got a tough schedule down the stretch, even by wide-open ACC standards. You go to Louisville, you got Pittsburgh at the end there, and they're playing well. That team could win the ACC this year. Some tough games on the back end of the schedule. Remember, Syracuse doesn't even have a bye for another few weeks, and there's some injuries starting to pile up here. That's my concern. It's my concern about this game. As much as that offensive line is fighting its tuchus off right now, and they have exceeded all expectation, I understand when you're one of the worst offensive lines in the country the last 2 years, you got nowhere to go but up. But if you just measure their performance this year, they've been great. They're opening holes for Sean Tucker and Garrett Schrader. Their pass protection, while Syracuse certainly doesn't throw the ball as much, has been adequate. But now you got Bergeron banged up. You got Aaron Service leaving a game. You got Tisdale unavailable. You got Chris Bleich unavailable. And even if they do play or are available Friday, what are we talking about, like 60-70% of what they've been? Kalen Ellis was great, and there is some more depth on that offensive line. But I know Clemson's got a couple guys out, and they are banged up in key areas. And I was looking at this today. So ESPN kind of did a midseason awards thing, and when it talks in this category about, well, who's been the biggest disappointment? Clemson, here's what they wrote. Clemson sitting at 3-2 is unexpected. Losing to Georgia, now the number one ranked team, was justifiable, but losing to NC State and beating Georgia Tech and Boston College by 6 points each is not something we would see. The team doesn't have some of its stars from last season, notably Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback, but the Tigers still boast a talented roster. Clemson has signed 66 ESPN 300 prospects over the past 5 recruiting classes and has been consistently near the top of the recruiting rankings. Taking away the 49 points against South Carolina State, Clemson is averaging only 14.3 points per game. And that, to me, is just where you just grab the red pen and keep circling. There is something drastically wrong with this Clemson offense. So there's a lot of things pointing to Syracuse. The ball control, the way they're running, how their defense, I think, can take advantage of that. Again, I think they've got to pick up the pace in terms of takeaways, but I've been spoiled there the last 2 years. You've been spoiled there the last 2 years because they've been a top 10 team in terms of takeaway rate in the country. There's a lot of things adding up to, man, they can do this. And, you know, to see the point spread at 12 or 13 points, I mean, Vegas rarely makes a mistake, but that's just Vegas, I think, leaning on reputation too hard. 14 points per game. That's pathetic for a team of that level with that kind of recruiting, with those kind of that pipeline of talent that comes through there. But you don't want this to be the get-right game. You don't want this to be the game where Clemson's feeling it. Their backs are against the wall. They know it's Friday night, and everybody's talking here in the middle of the season about what's happened to mighty Clemson, right? You don't want this game to be the one that lights the fuse where they start to get it. But they just don't have, you know, DJ Uiagalelei's got nothing. Lost so much talent there that Travis Etienne, we're starting to see how important he was to them. Because the depth is not there at running back, and there's been some injuries at that position as well. The offensive line is nowhere near what you would think it would be. This is as vulnerable a Clemson team as Syracuse has played flat out, period, since joining the ACC. And yet Syracuse is still punched up to Clemson when they were at their best, when they were national championship caliber. So, man, this game just feels different, but at the same time, you know if they walk away from this win, it's such a validation in a lot of ways. It's a weird game to read, though, and my concern is that offensive line, and it seems like we find out every week there's more injuries than we're being let on here. And that bye week is still a few weeks away. That's something we looked at even at the beginning of the season, and we said, That's not good for a team that's had a lot of depth issues in recent years. So just think about that. Would you rather be 5-7 but beat Clemson or 6-6 and lost to Clemson? There are still some that would take the other option, believe it or not. The option of, well, we didn't make a bowl game, but we beat them. Here in 2021, that's not the case, and it shouldn't be the case. Beating Clemson is just beating another team in the ACC this year, as weird as that is to say, and you'll never get somebody along the lines of a Dino Babers or somebody of association with Syracuse to say that, but it's the truth. They're just another win this year. But it's still, in the broad scope of things, would still mean the world, if that makes any sense. All right, let's break on that. Now, we'll get our Lee Baldwin report here shortly, and when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, there will be real hockey on your television tonight. Our friend Liam McHugh, Syracuse grad, has changed teams. He is now with the NHL on TNT, so we'll get all the headlines and talk some hockey and look forward to catching up with Liam, who's, you know, just going to hang out with Wayne Gretzky all the time now. Like, no big deal. Me and Wayne, we're boys. Incredible. So we'll catch up with Liam McHugh coming up. We love talking hockey with him, and he's always got thoughts on the Qs and some other things. As we go through the afternoon, plenty of hoops to get into as well. JJ's announcement comes at 5 o'clock, so we will certainly analyze that one way or the other once it happens. As it happens, some thoughts from ACC Media Day. We got a lot to do. So don't go anywhere. Just hang out. Enjoy the sunshine. Listen to the show. Listen to Lee Baldwin give you the knowledge on what happened on the market on this Tuesday. Lee, how are you, sir?
Nothing happens in the market, Brent, like in the sports world. And so you've got a busy day.
Everybody just, you know, playing hooky today with the good weather, or what's the deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, it is good weather, and that it didn't reflect in the market. We finished down for the third straight session, but we weren't down very much. I do have a diamond, though, Valvoline, up over 9%. They're splitting up their retail and global products divisions, so that's good news for Valvoline. And our dog, this has surprised me, AT&T, which hit a 10-year low today, so that gets our dogs, and there you have it.
Thank you, sir. I don't know if you watch, I know the name of the host of the show, just not the name of the show itself. I don't know if you watch John Oliver on HBO, but that might have something to do with AT&T taking a little nose time. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Now I got to look it up.
Now you got to go look it up
on
YouTube.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, you're going down a YouTube rabbit hole now. It'll be worth it, though. It'll answer your question.
I'll see everyone in about an hour and a half. Yep.
I'll just leave it at that. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Brent.
There goes Lee Baldwin, folks. He's the best. You can find him in Kaz Utica. His great crew. You hear the voices here telling you to get all the diamonds but none of the dogs on your portfolio. Liam McHugh next. Stay right there.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back, friends. You're On the Block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. It's 5.07 p.m. Do you know where J.J. Starling is going to college? The answer is no. So we are following live here, folks. J.J. Starling, of course, the Baldwinsville product, now at La Lemire in Indiana. Simply put, one of the best high school basketball products in the country. He is deciding between Syracuse, Duke, Northwestern, Notre Dame, and Stanford. A 6'4", 190-pound senior, an elite combo guard. You know J.J. You know the importance of J.J., how good of a player he is. Also important, a good wireless connection, as we're finding out here. So Tommy Gunn is in studio keeping a hawkeye on Paul Biancardi's Instagram live feed. He's the ESPN college recruiting guru, right?
Yeah.
And so this is where the announcement was going to be made on Instagram Live, but Paul's like literally having technical issues. JJ was in the chat, then JJ left the chat, and as we were listening during the break, Paul was trying to get him back in the chat. Paul doing a nice job holding it together. I'll give him that, even with all the technical issues. So we still don't know. We're still waiting here to get some technical bugs worked out, apparently, before we can find out where JJ is going to go to school. So JJ, I'm following Mike Curtis, our friend from Syracuse.com. He's there. He's actually in Indiana at this announcement. He's live tweeting. So they're at the podium. They're on the stage. JJ sharing a moment with his coach, right? They're just kind of waiting out the technical issues because they do want to make the announcement on this live Instagram feed.
The Instagram feed has now ended. So we are completely onto a new stream. Paul Biancardi was just saying JJ needs to get a new device. But yeah, it's been quite the disaster. We're looking at Paul Biancardi's mug.
It's not like ESPN has a fleet of actual like channels they could have done this
if
on
only.
In some way, shape, or form. Somehow Paul Biancardi, God bless him, talked JJ into doing this on Instagram Live. All right. Could have done it here on QSportsTalk.com. That's
sure
working. That's working. The radio's working. Hello, is this on? This is working. Can we move in on this? JJ, 315-437-7644.
Call in.
We can get you on the air right now.
Watching that was quite the confidence boost, though.
Yeah, why is that?
We've had some difficulties on QSportsTalk.com. I'll be the first to admit that.
Okay, I got you.
We've got a new stream now.
Oh, so Paul is back up. We're doing play-by-play of a live stream and the announcement at the same time here. So let me remind you what's in the class of 2022, which JJ is about to or perhaps not join. Okay, for Syracuse, in the class of 2022, there is Justin Taylor, who our live chat on QSportsTalk.com was just saying would make for a pretty good replacement, good outside shooter, 6'6 guard from Charlottesville. Of course, for Buddy Boeheim, who everybody anticipates is going to leave after this season. Syracuse has a commitment from Kadir Copeland, a 6'6 guard in that 2022 class. He's a native of Gettysburg, currently spending his senior year at IMG Academy. And Syracuse recently got a third verbal commitment from Peter Carey, who's a 6'11 senior from Massachusetts. And I recall in our conversation with Mike McAllister, who's going to join us at some point here after all this goes down here, okay, more of a project, more of those 6'11 big guys that Syracuse is going to kind of take a chance on to, you know, put in the zone defense and everything that comes with those projects. The other two players highly regarded in both Taylor and Copeland, but Carey looked at as more of one of those diamonds in the rough that Syracuse found. Look, adding JJ, some people would say they don't have room for him. How long would he stay here? What would the situation be? That's a player that you add to the roster if, in fact, he wants to come to Syracuse. If there's, you find a way to get a player like that. And what I'm intrigued by, Tommy, is if JJ chooses to come here, and I'm sure we'll talk to him at some point if he does, in a world of NIL, there is no better opportunity for him than the hometown team, right? You got to consider those things.
Even better than Duke? I've heard that a couple times now.
Yeah,
Duke,
I think
national
even better
brand.
Than Duke. A lot of NIL remembers local connection. It's not just getting commercials and getting endorsements because of your status as an athlete. Like, half the reason Buddy Boeheim has all the endorsements he does is there's a local connection there. He's from here, right? You know, those local brands like Beacon Skiff and the places that have signed him, there's a connection there, right? As opposed to, I'm J.J. Starling here for Krusty Burger, whatever.
Right. First team, though, post-Coach K, that could be a little bit added thing
in Durham. Don't get me wrong. He'll get NIL wherever he goes, but the local kid in the local town, that's going to get you the most there. But again, looking at the other schools on the list, clearly academics are important to this kid. This is not just five basketball factories he's going to. A couple of them in Syracuse and Duke, of course, are very good basketball programs, but Stanford has, Duke, Northwestern, Notre Dame, of course, the other name on the list. The combination of academics and athletics, it's there. Clearly, it's important to him. So
he's made his decision, Brent Axe.
Okay. We're in. We know.
He will be going to the University of Notre Dame.
It is Notre Dame for J.J. Starling. There was a little wind today that that's where he was leaning. And now it's official. J.J. Starling, Syracuse native, now at La Lemire, is going to Notre Dame. So Syracuse will face J.J. Starling starting next season in ACC play. So obviously it's time to shut down the program and never play again because J.J. Starling said no. And here come all the tweets about how come Syracuse couldn't land the local kid and all the usual responses there. But there it is, folks. Always love when these things happen live when we're on the air. J.J. Starling selects the University of Notre Dame. And there you have it. And it looks like, we have the announcement. Look at that. Quick work out there by the crew on the mega desk. Let's listen.
J.J. Starling, where are you going to play your college basketball next season?
I'll be committing to the University of Notre Dame.
There it is. J.J. Starling just moments ago, they got the Instagram live feed going, so congratulations to them on that. And he's going to go to Notre Dame. Okay, so I'm sure we'll get – are you guys still rolling on that out there, I would assume? We'll get some more reaction from J.J. and why he picked Notre Dame, and he's at a press conference now, so I'm sure we'll get more reaction as to why Notre Dame was the right choice for him, and then we'll get Mike McAllister on here in a few minutes and say, okay, what's next? Because this was a big target. This was – even with Kadir Copeland coming in, even with some other players that were in the mix, Syracuse went hard for J.J. And they have gone after him as hard as any recruit in the past. And you're always recruiting, and it's an ongoing process here. But they really wanted J.J., and they went after him with everything they got. So,
and as early as
came up short on that,
Brent. Like they, since he was here local, they were able to see him from eighth grade.
That's right,
and they were all in on him. They really like J.J. Starling. This is a miss.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get in early, you establish that relationship. That's important to some recruits. How many times have we heard these press conferences and they said they were there first and they stuck with me, right? But
that's why Dior Johnson originally committed to Syracuse.
Correct, right. But you go where you feel is best. The usual opinions are going to be out there now about, boy, if you can't keep that kid home or whatever. And it's people always forget in that consideration the kid. Like, they have a decision they want to make. They want to go where they want to go. They don't think maybe the same way you do, but why wouldn't you want to go anywhere else but here, right? Like, that's part of the college experience. Maybe sometimes you don't want to stay in Central New York. You want to broaden your horizons. J.J. goes to La Lemire. He's out there. He's close to Indiana, in Notre Dame in Indiana, kind of sees a different part of the world, what it would be like there. Sometimes you visit a college and you just know. Right? There's so much that goes into these considerations, but people just love to just put it in a narrow box. Like, why wouldn't you come to Syracuse, for crying out loud? You grew up here, right? And there are people that still say that about Breanna Stewart and Mike Hart and Greg Paulus and some of the biggest high school stars in Central New York that dare to play somewhere else but Syracuse University. So that's going to be out there one way or the other, but it doesn't make it right. Here's J.J. Describing his game a little bit here, and let's listen to that.
I'm known for my scoring and facilitating. I'm a three-level scorer. I can shoot, dribble, pass, finish around the rim. So that's what I'm looking forward to bringing to Notre Dame.
There he goes. J.J. Just moments ago on the Instagram live feed provided by ESPN's Paul Biancardi. Take two. Right? Take one had to be shut down.
Yeah, you think
take two is working.
The technical difficulties was enough suspense, but Paul Biancardi still had to build it up on the second stream, still had to do his thing.
Listen, at least he didn't pull a Jim Gray when Jim Gray did the decision with LeBron James.
That was during the start, though.
20 minutes and three commercial breaks in, and they finally got to it. So at least they got to it relatively quickly there. So let's break on that note, and we'll bring in our friend Mike McAllister to see what's next for Syracuse, now knowing that J.J. Starling is committed to Notre Dame. And one more clip from J.J., by the way, before we break, on what he liked about Notre Dame and their style of play.
I feel like it's perfect. Like I said, he lets his guards play freely. It's not like a set every time down the court, and that's what I really like. He puts trust in his players, and his players put trust in him. So That's what I really like.
There's JJ on Instagram Live as his announcement and press conference ongoing at La Lemire. Let's break, and we'll bring in our friend Mike McAllister to analyze what Syracuse does next. Stay right there.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
JJ Stalling, where are you going to play your college basketball next season?
I'll be committing to the University of Notre Dame.
That announcement made just a few minutes ago via ESPN's Paul Biancardi Instagram Live. So JJ Stalling picks Notre Dame over Syracuse, Duke, Northwestern, and Stanford. Here for instant analysis from Sports Illustrated, the man, the myth, the legend. Follow him on Twitter for all the latest on recruiting, Syracuse athletics. Mike McAllister is here, folks. All right, Mike, shut it down. It's all over. They missed out on another recruit. They might as well not even play this year, right? By God.
I think Boeheim might instantly retire after that.
I think so. That announcement coming just shortly here. We may have to cut you off for that retirement announcement because they did not get J.J. Stalling.
Yeah, hey, look. From Pete Moore that there's an in-that press conference will cut me and go right to that.
Listen, look, you know how this recruiting game goes. Some are bigger than others, and there's no doubt about it, Mike, and give us a little context and history here. This is a player that Syracuse recruited pretty hard for years, so there's got to be a little disappointment today that ultimately they couldn't swing him to come back home.
Of course there is. There's always disappointment when you put a lot of effort and resources into recruiting a player, and you know, perhaps a little bit extra because he was the homegrown kid and, you know, from Baldwinsville and all that. But, you know, it's you lose some, you win some. They've done a pretty good job winning some so far in this recruiting class. I don't think you can complain too much from that. But, yeah, you know, he would have been a huge get, a buzzworthy get, a notable get, and someone that would have been the headliner to the class. So whenever you don't get that guy, of course there's going to be some disappointment. And, you know, they were the only school to get two officials. They certainly gave it everything they had. It wasn't for lack of effort. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out for one reason or another.
Mike, tell me about your dealings with JJ over the years, certainly when he was here talking to him. I'm sure you still stay in touch with him here and there now. And they did a pretty good job. It started to kind of get out there a couple hours before the announcement that maybe it was Notre Dame, but they did a pretty good job keeping this under wraps. They were always pretty tight with where he was leaning and what he favored in terms of the process. But tell me about your experience in covering JJ up to this point.
Yeah, they certainly did a really good job with keeping things close to the vest. But just my interactions with JJ, you know, whenever you have an elite recruit, you never know how they're going to react to interview requests. And when you do interview them, you know, what are they going to tell you? He was very good at kind of playing the game of giving you quotes that sounded like something but weren't really anything, you know, those types of things. But just a really nice kid, always apologized if he never got back to me right away, even though I obviously knew that he had more important things to do than talk to me. But, you know, throughout the recruiting process, basically up until it became decision time, he always got back to me one way or another. I always appreciated that. Was easy to talk to, very friendly, very polite, well-spoken, very intelligent. Just, you know, he was a fun kid to cover his recruitment, and, you know, I'll miss talking to him every few weeks.
Mike, let's remind the level of talent we're talking about here. He's described as an elite combo guard, and you're not in the hyperbole world when you say he's one of the best prospects in the country.
Absolutely, he is. He can do everything from an offensive standpoint. He can be your lead guard and get into the lane, make plays for himself or his teammates. He is an elite outside shooter, really dynamic athlete, just a very, very talented player. He can play off the ball, play the two for you, where you can kind of run some stuff to get him some open looks from the outside. He's just a tremendous player, and every time he seems to play against elite-level competition, he seems to play even better. So he's a really good prospect, really good player. Notre Dame definitely got someone I think that's going to be their lead guard right from the get-go.
Mike, let's remind who is in the class of 2022 that J.J. would have joined had he committed to Syracuse.
They've got point guard Quadir Copeland, who's about a 6'5", 6'6", point guard from Pennsylvania. He's down at IMG right now, and he's just one of those guys. He kind of reminds you a little bit of Michael Carter Williams in terms of being one of those lanky, long guards that can be disruptive at the top of the zone. And then you've got Justin Taylor, a shooting guard, one of the better shooters in the 2022 class, someone that Syracuse is going to expect is going to fill in for Buddy Boeheim when he gets there and kind of play a similar role to what Buddy does. And then you've got Peter Carey, a 7-foot center who is – you know, when Syracuse first started recruiting him, he was seemingly at around 190 pounds or so. He's already up around 210, so he's adding weight. He's got NBA-level athleticism, just can do a lot of things and move certain ways that you don't expect to see seven-footers do, and he runs the floor very well. He's a great rim protector. He's going to be ready right away to contribute defensively and on the boards. Offensively, it's going to take a little bit longer for him to add some elements to his game, but he's got good hands. So we should be able to catch a dump off and finish around the rim right away. Really good three-man class so far, and of course, I don't think they're done adding to it and have a potential to add one as soon as this Saturday.
Ah, on to the next one, as we always do, Mike. Yes. So tell us about Malik Brown, who has narrowed his list down to 5. Syracuse is on a different type of player than JJ, and kind of where else Syracuse could go in the class of 2022. Are they kind of done with the guard position now that JJ has decided to go elsewhere? Is that still a possibility? What's next?
Anything's possible. You never rule anything out in recruiting, right? So, but my best guess is that they're not going to add another guard. You think about the fact that they're bringing in Quadir Copeland and Justin Taylor, as we just mentioned. They've still got Joe Girard and potentially Samir Torrance that could be coming back, so you could have 4 guards there. Do you really need to add a 5th one? I don't think so. So my guess is unless someone comes along that just wows them, they stick with those 4 and move forward. And then if someone leaves, they've got the portal that they can look to try to add somebody. But they've got Malik Brown. He's announcing on Saturday. He's a power forward, about a 6'9", 6'10", you know, 200, 220, somewhere in that range. More of a, you know, multiple-year, 3-to-4-year contributor program type of a guy as opposed to, you know, one of these that you expect to be 1 or 2 and done. But just a strong interior presence, one of these guys is going to do all the dirty work for you, the hustle plays and cleaning up the boards and those types of things. He's a nice prospect. He officially visited Syracuse recently. He's announcing on Saturday. I think Virginia Tech is probably Syracuse's biggest competition there. It's the only other school that he took an official to. And then Chris Bunch is deciding on Halloween. And he's another one who's taken 2 official visits to Syracuse. He's down to Syracuse, Rutgers, and Washington as his final 3. I think Washington is the bigger threat there if you're Syracuse because he is a West Coast kid, and Washington's the only West Coast school of those 3. But his family has ties out to the East Coast, so an interesting dynamic there. But, you know, Syracuse, especially since Kamari Lands decided to reopen his recruitment, Syracuse has recruited Chris Bunch extremely hard, and they ramped it up even more after that happened. So I would put Syracuse as probably the favorite as of now going into that announcement, but, you know, we've got a couple of weeks till then, almost 3 weeks, and obviously, as we know, things can change in about 5 minutes in the recruiting world.
Michael, always appreciate the time and the insight, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
That's Mike McAllister. Read all about it, Syracuse on Sports Illustrated, and, of course, Mike's great Twitter feed on all things recruiting and the next step for the Orange, in case you're just joining us and have not heard, J.J. Starling heading for Notre Dame.